It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle United versus Liverpool this weekend. Saturday night, lads, 19:45 on the telly. What an occasion it could well be. This is your free patron taster podcast. We record this podcast every single week for our patrons who pay about £7 a month for about 20 shows extra per month. We're also supported by Fansbet, the unique gaming company who give 50% of their net profits back to good fan causes such as the True Faith podcast and others. We're going to jump straight in. We've got a massive show today. Myself, Alex Hurst, Michael Collin, Ben Wade, Simon Campbell to talk about a seismic game for many reasons. Obviously, the context of the game isn't particularly our league position. But Simon Campbell, has it hit home yet that this is most likely Rafa Benitez's last home game as Newcastle United manager? Or do indeed you think that? Do you think that he's going to stay? Is he going to go? What does this Saturday mean to you?
I think you're right. I think it's been a huge distraction, the fact that it's Liverpool, the fact that they're in the title race still. It's almost passed everyone by that this is technically, as far as Rafa's current contract is, his last game at St James's Park. And my view on it is we've actually been here before. We've been here for Spurs, the season we went down when Rafa first came. He was only meant to be there for 6 months and then we didn't know what the future held. And it was an opportunity for the whole stadium to unite and how much we wanted that bloke to stay at the club. And we kind of did that, didn't we? That Spurs game was memorable for so many reasons, Moussa Sissoko being one. And we sang for 90 minutes about Benitez, and we came out of that thinking that we'd made a difference in his decision, and I still think we did. We were there again last season when we played Chelsea because Benitez was furious last January after not being backed in the transfer window again. He looked like a bloke who didn't want to be here for vast majorities of that season. And then come the last game, we had this brilliant match against Chelsea and the crowd was different again and everyone was dead happy and singing his name again. And again, I think that might have just been the persuading factor in him sticking it out for another year. So here we are again, Liverpool at home, last home game. Benitez has still got a decision to make, which I don't necessarily think he's made. I think we know what he wants to do. We think we know what needs to happen for that to happen. But I also think this game and how the crowd and how it goes will have another impact on his decision. And it's huge for this Newcastle fan base. It's huge for the club because there's two different directions it goes after that, and I think we know what they both are.
It's going to take some atmosphere though, isn't it, to turn around this time, in my opinion. I think Rafa is at the end of his tether, and you know, I personally don't think we can do enough as a fan base this time to turn his opinion around. But you're right, we're on the edge, the precipice of a you know, the fucking Grand Canyon this time, aren't we? If Rafa goes now unbacked and we bring in, as we've said all along, Owen Coyle or someone of a similar managerial ability, we're snookered for good and we'll not come back from it this time. So it's desperately, desperately sad that this is what we're looking at, but hopefully we can just let him go out with a bang on Saturday. 3 points, massive atmosphere, loads of piss jollies.
Yeah, I'll echo that, Mickey, and Si, you're right that we have a duty as a fan base to repeat what we did in May 2016. Those of us that turned up for the game, by the way, not looking at anyone in particular in this room, Michael Collin. and yeah, I also think you're right, Mickey, that we could sing the Blading Races for 90 minutes, we could sing all the songs under the sun, and that's not going to make Rafa Benitez work with the constraints that are being placed upon him seemingly by the club. Now let's look at some facts here. What does Rafa Benitez want to do as Newcastle United manager? Well, he wants to compete in the top 10 of the Premier League. He wants to have a go at trophies. And one of the things he's pushed home most consistently is he wants to get his transfer business done early in the transfer window. Yet we're in a position where I assume that because these demands, if you want to call them demands, were put to the hierarchy of the club, what, months ago? That the first time they saw them, they were like, are you taking the piss? You want transfer business done early? The cup's top 10. This is Newcastle United. We can't do that. And that's the thing. Rafa Benitez looks at what Newcastle United can do rather than think about what we can't and who we can't compete with on a financial level. And Ben, I'll bring you in on this one. Just if you look at the resources that Rafa's had compared to the teams just above us on the table, Everton, West Ham, Wolves, why do you think the club are so reluctant to just allow them a little bit more leeway, a little bit more control over transfers, and surely we can at least catch that little group up, you know, below the top six? Like, in my opinion, what do you think it is that's holding up the signing of this contract?
It's crazy, isn't it? You think the resources that they've given to some of the past managers that couldn't even shine Rafa's boots if you put them on. I think a lot of it is probably the mistakes that have happened in the past. I think Rafa's paying for McLaren's mistakes with the money he spent. The managers before that, Pardew and whatnot, Allardyce, even go back as far as that. I think Ashley Sadie's fingers burnt too many times with the jokes that we've had in charge of transfer policy in the past. And I think there's an apprehension there of can we afford to make any more because we are on a shoestring budget. I think, in terms of what he's been given, yeah. The other side to it is the fact that Rafa's probably done too well with the budget that he's had. So it's something we've said a few times. If you look at what resources he's been given and the results he's got out of that, then there's not really any incentive for them to give him anything. I mean, £3 million on Shaw this season is probably the best deal this season in terms of the output we've got from that player. I mean, he's not just a class defender. He's scoring goals. He's had some seismic sort of moments in terms of the way our season's gone and that he's had a massive influence on. And I think as well, there's always just that nervousness. I mean, you saw with the whole how long it took for the Almiron deal to go through. For the Almiron, you've got a Kennedy. So Kennedy was the big one after last season where it was, we were talking about we could sign this player for 20, 25 million, whatever was being quoted. And he looked really good last season. If you'd have spoken to any of us last year, would have said, nail on, got to get him in. Brilliant. Fast forward to this point now and the kid's not kicked a ball properly in a few weeks. And I include last weekend when he came on for a little cameo. So it's just, I think it's that nervousness of one bad mistake can set us back so much more than anyone else. And it's that threat of relegation. We can't afford to get relegated again. The mental thing is, though, is that they've got Rafa Benitez, who's just will go into the nth degree of detail to make sure that he knows everything about the players that he's bringing in. He's going to do it in a certain way. I mean, I think a lot of it just comes down to the fact that they're just idiots. They don't know what they're doing and think they know better, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, I'd love to know the Premier League like chairman who's able to be like speaking to Mike Ashley, Lee Charlton, he said, "Oh, what went wrong? Why did you get relegated? Oh, we're trying to finish eighth. You know, I wish we'd try to finish lower down the league. That would have been all right." And you're spot on, Ben, with the kind of diamonds in the rough, like the Fabian shirt. Even you know, throwing a Florian Lejeune, £8.9 million. That bloke, injuries aside, is a £30 million defender. You know, there are countless examples. Even the likes of Isaac Hayden, who's not had a great season until till January. £2 million. This isn't the Premier League. This isn't Rafa Benitez is in my opinion, and I'm not an expert on his career. This is his best job in football by an absolute mile. Turning this team of you know, average to good, but mostly average Premier League or Championship players into a top 10 competing side or close to the top 10, been absolutely magnificent. I mean, Mickey, in your opinion, we may as well get some honest answers now. Is there any chance of this being done? Mark Douglas on social media this week said he was told, if it's not done by Fulham, don't panic. But I'm already panicking.
I've been panicking for a while. I think every single day this drags on, it makes it less and less likely that it's going to happen. So we're now looking at, 5 weeks? 6 weeks, is it? Until D-Day. If Rafa leaves Newcastle on the 30th of June without having signed the contract, obviously then it's finished. In my opinion, we're basically there now. There's no reason, since we secured safety, there's no reason at all that contract wouldn't get sorted then. Charlie's got nothing else to do. Literally has nothing else to do other than sort this contract out with Rafa, and he hasn't done it. So I think, in my opinion, it's probably already done.
You guarantee there'll be a two-week Mike Ashley holiday in there, followed by Lee Charlie's 2 weeks holiday. The thing that worries me more than anything is that the very first time we did all this after we got relegated, Benitez was sat with him for 2 weeks with lawyers and all sorts. So he thought he had it airtight. He thought he had it in writing, legally sorted, and they've still managed to fuck him. So that's what worries me, is that what else can he do to take these people at their word, which is clearly just meaningless? That's a scary thing. They can give him all these kind of guarantees, but you cannot believe a word they say. And Kevin Keegan would say the same thing. You cannot work with these people, and unless something changes about the relationship, like, entirely, and I don't see how that happens. So yeah, I'm terrified.
I'm sure at the time when we had this previously, it was genuinely written in the Rafa's contract that he has certain things that he was allowed a certain amount of control over. That's kind of been forgotten about. No one ever really talks about it, which is weird. Was that right? Or
yeah, I mean, that was most likely he has final say over transfers, which he does, and that's one of the things hanging over the club, that if he isn't given a new contract, there's nothing to stop Rafa Benitez having the final say on transfers until his contract runs out on June 1st. So they say, they, by just people you read, professionals, that Rafa is potentially using that to his advantage. And before we get into the game, which we're here to preview, I just want to put to you three, and I've sat here and listened to some things you said, let's not just do the easy thing and assume that they're idiots or they don't know what they're doing. And you say Lee Charnley's got nothing to do, and I know where you're coming from, because in terms of context of things he's got to sort out, things at the top of the pile, there is none bigger. But you know, realistically, there's the day-to-day running of the club, there's the two European rugby finals coming up, St James's Park, there's commercial deals in the final 12 months of the contract. So there are other things going on at Newcastle United. But you're right.
Don't give a shit.
I was going
to
say, they've got
the don't care.
Well, my question to you was going to be, what I think that they want to keep Rafa Benitez, albeit constrained by their mental model, which got us relegated at least once, arguably twice. We definitely got relegated twice, of course. But I mean, in terms of this buy young, sell on, maximum value bullshit, which, you know, they were spouting in, or Ashley or Wise, whoever was talking about in 2009, nothing's changed since then. What do you think they're hoping will happen with Rafa by keeping him going this long? What do you think they want to keep him to? Is it as simple as not signing Solomon Rondon? Or is it more of like, we're only going to spend 30 million every summer, that type thing? Like, what do you think the club's position actually is right now?
I suspect that the club are absolutely dead set on the youth policy, and they won't let them sign anyone over X years old. And I think that's probably the defining part in it. Rafa's always said, and I tend to believe him on it, that he doesn't want a fortune. He doesn't even want X amount of pounds is available this summer. He just wants to be able to control whatever the money is being spent on. So I think they are dictating who he can sign and constraining it too far. So he said he wants Rondon. He said he needs experience. I think they've said no, and I think that's their line in the sand that they won't cross, and that's what I think is holding it up and will ultimately cause it to
expire.
Yeah, good word.
I think it's not that cutting transfers, but I don't think it's it. So, I mean, for example, he was sanctioned to sign Daryl Murphy, who's 33-year-old player in the Championship. So I don't think it's about the age, but I think it's the fact that they want maximum selling value. Now, you probably managed to sell the Daryl Murphy deal in that it was 3 million quid or something, 4 million quid, wasn't it? And 33 years old, we ended up recovering that because he's a Championship level player, and we got money from when we sold him, and they knew it was going to be a one-year deal. The problem, I think, he's got with Rondon, and we all know how good Rondon is, but the problem is you're going to have to pay 20 million for Rondon now. You're only going to get 10 million from him probably when we're ready to sell him, or 5 million or whatever, or we might not even sell him. He might just retire after that. And I think that level of investment to have Nout back for it and potentially it fail is what's holding them back from sanctioning it, which is stupid.
Do you agree with that? Can you see where they're coming from?
Of course not. It's absolutely mental. But that's how they're thinking.
I think I'd also add to that is he obviously, Rafa understands that we're nowhere near the top six. He understands that there's no real amount of investment that Newcastle can feasibly do to get us into the top six. The way to catch up to the other clubs and even the top eight, top ten, is to also start producing your own talent, which we don't do. So he's very passionate about doing something with the academy, making Newcastle into a club that produces football players. And it looks like they're not really that keen to see that through either. And, you know, these are the things he wants to build a football club. He needs all these things, the transfer policy, the transfer control, as well as the club doing the right things in terms of making the place into a football club that produces and tries to get better at football. But they don't say it like that. It's just a numbers game for them.
Well, I mean, we've got to become that world-class rugby host, haven't we, for these two games coming. So that's obviously clear on the mind. I just think for that as well, I mean, you asked us a question about Rondon there. The point is that the cost of... So they can't see that the value of staying in the Premier League mentally, which is all they're bothered about, is staying in the Premier League, but that they're ignoring the fact that it takes... You have to put some in it to stay in the Premier League. It's not a God-given right, or it's not something that you can guarantee. I mean, you look at some of the sides that have been struggling the last couple of years. So look at Southampton, for example, who had the similar model for a long time. Get all these players through the youth system, sell them on, and they were doing brilliant for a few years. They got a couple of decisions wrong in terms of the player personnel that they were bringing in, And now the last couple of years, they've been one of the worst teams in the league, and you can't really see how they're going to turn that around now. They've gambled massively. So the club need to not worry about the sell-on values and just say, who are the best players we can get to make sure we stay in the Premier League for next season? Because they're trying to look too far ahead. We're not in a stable enough position to be worrying about that. We need to look on it year-on-year basis. And Rafa Benitez is far more qualified to tell them who's going to help secure that than anyone else that could potentially ask to advise on that.
Good point, Ben. One thing I'd just like to say, and I raised this point on the free podcast on Sunday, Rondon's not that good. He's just good because we're shit. Like, I like him, don't get us wrong, and I think we absolutely need to sign him, but I don't think, you know, in my ideal world, Salomon Rondon getting kind of 9-10 goals a season isn't where I want Newcastle to be, and I'm sure Rafa's the same, but that's the thing. He's trying to build for something. Like you say, give us a 3-year contract. At the end of those 3 years, we might be the 7th best team unequivocally in England. We're going to have a look at the top six. And instead, players like Salomon Rondon are deemed too expensive for Newcastle at the minute. And that's a real shame. We're going to crack on, though. Obviously, we've got loads more coming up on the Manager's Future on our Patreon podcast. So have a listen if you like what you hear. Mickey, Liverpool after the title, how asked are you about that? Do you think it would be nice to get revenge for 1996, if you can call it that? Or are you only concerned about Newcastle United on Saturday? You know, the football world will be watching. Does that give you a bit of a kick?
So, how bothered am I about Liverpool chasing the title? Not very. It could be anyone else in the league and I'd want them to win the title ahead of Man City because I cannot stand them as a club. So that's, I have some investment in this title race because of that, because I hate Man City. But how much do I want Liverpool to win the league? No more than basically anyone else. You know, they're a decent club. They're quite like us. They've got working class fans. They're proper football supporters. It's a football mad city split between the proper football fans and the Scouse Magums. So, you know, I do like them, but I'm not going to cheer them if they win the league. I wasn't one of the people that stood up and applauded Steven Gerrard when he had that tremendous performance at Newcastle, because he's playing against Newcastle. And this weekend coming, Liverpool are playing against Newcastle, so I care about how Newcastle play. Now, it's slightly different this weekend because I kind of don't really care about how Newcastle play either. I just want to go at the match and shout about Rafa and try and do my little bit if it could possibly work to get him to stay. But you know, my focus this weekend is not on Liverpool and Liverpool's title chase. It's on Newcastle. In terms of looking for revenge for 1996, I was too young to experience any of the like real disappointment in the fact that we didn't win the league that year. But looking back at it, you know, we were part of one of the best games in Premier League history and in football history. It went against us, but it wasn't that game that I look back at as an adult now and think that game cost us the league. So I don't think we need to get revenge on them. I don't think anyone our age really thinks we need to get revenge on them. But then you speak to people that were there or people that were really heavily invested, as we are now, in Newcastle at the time, and they all want revenge. So I kind of fluctuate on it thinking like my dad will be foaming and he'll want revenge. So I kind of want it for him. But ultimately and really, no, I don't feel anything like that. I just want Rafa to sign a new contract. That's the top and bottom of it. Now, having the eyes of the footballing world on us is a different question, because that stirs something in us. That's something that I think we should have anyway, because Newcastle United are a massively well-supported one club, City football club that could be and has historically done some really interesting things in the game. So you look back at the time when Robson was manager, we qualified for the Champions League after losing the first three games. We're the first team ever to do it. People used to notice Newcastle. People used to know about Alan Shearer all around the world. People used to know that we played attacking football. Everyone knows us as entertainers. There's fans all across the world that started supporting Newcastle in the 90s because we were class at football. And it's really now disappointing that the eyes of the footballing world are on us because Liverpool are playing against us. And we could be anyone else in the league. I find that really disappointing. And that is something that Mike Ashley has caused at this football club. And there's no two ways about it. It's sad. I don't know how you lads feel.
No, I agree. My thoughts on this is it's really, really small time to start thinking about this being a big opportunity, like upset the title race. Like that shouldn't be Newcastle. You shouldn't see it as a big thing that we might be the ones to upset the title race because we're so far away from it that it doesn't really matter to us.
We've already done it anyway.
Yeah, This is just the opportunity for Newcastle United and Rafa Benitez just to remind the world that we are a big club and that we're here capable of competing with these teams that are fighting out for the title, not because we want to upset the race, but because we are worthy of, you know, being sort of going shoulder to shoulder with these teams because we are a big club. Benitez will absolutely see it that way, and I see it the same way. It's a chance to measure ourselves once again against the top team in the league and see how we get on and show that we're not actually that far away from it with this manager.
I don't know the show I was listening to on Five Live, but one of the hosts was like putting out to the callers, do you think that Rafa will go easy on Liverpool? And it's like, however, mate, like, you're getting paid for this. Like, is it like as if, you mean, and even if in some weird way the manager of a football club wanted his ex-club to win a game, like, as if the players and fans, especially at home, would just be like, oh yeah, no problem, Gaffer. Like, right. Like, Liverpool, let's be clear. Liverpool have the ability to humiliate us this weekend. Not that that is neither here nor there to them. They need the 3 points. But in terms of the playing personnel, they've lost fucking one game this season. That in itself is quite scary in a supposedly competitive league. And I know this is a very Twitter argument, you know. Klopp spent no money, and then people say, but he spent this. They've built a team. I think Klopp's been there 3 years. He's built a team where Guardiola, as Mourinho said this week, you know, the first year he was there, he did shite, blamed the fullbacks, went out and spent £200 million on fullbacks in the summer, on four separate fullbacks. You know, so there's all that to come into it. But, you know, Si, you're right. And I think the fact that Liverpool could really do us a lot of damage this weekend will see us, you know, highly defensive, highly cagey, and Rafa will want to go out on a high. If this is the end, he will want to go out on a high. And let's face it, we can match last season's points total this week. Again, I feel a bit dirty saying that, because when I was growing up, and I'm sure many of you, when you were growing up supporting Newcastle, you weren't thinking, oh, this week we're going to match last season's points total. Get in. Like, no one gives a fuck in reality. It's all mid-table. There's staying up. And then there's not. So, you know, that's all we've done, stayed up. But we can't beat that and kind of show that continuous improvement year on year. And, you know, there's opportunities there for players. And it's not just Rafa Benitez. Will this be the last time we see Matt Ritchie at St. James's Park? Will it be the last time that you see Martin Dubravka at St. James's Park? Because, you know, we all concentrate on the manager. There's such an overhaul required of this squad. The vast majority of it having competed in the Championship nearly 3 seasons ago. That, you know, it should be a transformative summer at Newcastle in the most positive way, and they should already be planning for that. And instead, we're still pissing about trying to, you know, sort out the final details of whether the manager can sign a centre forward who's 30. It defies belief. But onto the game itself, Ben. Oh, sorry, Si would like to jump in.
One last thing, because I've seen a lot of this. Oh, would Benitez not, like, you know, take it easy for Liverpool? Like, why does he want one of the managers that's replaced him to win the league when he didn't? Like, I don't understand. If it was me, I'd be like desperate to make sure that a different bloke didn't achieve what he didn't when he was there. It's just, I don't understand anyone who thinks that Benitez would want Liverpool to win the league with a different manager.
I think Rafa Benitez is a far better man than you, Si, and he would love Liverpool to win the league. Like, I think he'd be absolutely buzzing for all his friends, his family, you know, the network he built up. He lives in Liverpool, but I get what you're saying, but I think he's probably all in on Liverpool, but we don't know, we're speculating. I want to come to Ben now, and Ben, you know, this game, can we actually do anything? We've got so many key players out. Lascelles and Perez featured in training today, so that was positive. But, you know, Lejeune's out, Longstaff's out, Almiron's out. I mean, we aren't the best team, you know, on a good day normally, let alone without the three best players. Is there any chance of us getting a good result, and what is a good result for you?
There's always a chance, because I mean, I mentioned the Man City sort of before, but that result was ridiculous. Nobody gave us a chance. Nobody. I don't think even any of the fans in the stadium would have thought that team could pull that off. But they obviously believed they could, and Rafa believed they could. And he's that much of a tactical genius that he'll have a plan for everything. He'll have something in place that, depending on how the game goes, he knows how he'll want things to look and how to set up. So yes, we have got a chance, of course we have. It's obviously going to be very, very difficult, because we've got, as you just said, a number of players, and I think Almiron's a massive, massive miss. Just the way the team plays with him in it, we're a very, very different kettle of fish. I mean, the weekend you saw Atsu obviously came in for him, and me and Mickey were quite disappointed on the first listen of it, of just how we dropped off in terms of our attacking intensity and the way we played. It was way off, and I think if we turn up and play Liverpool in that manner again, I think we will get embarrassed, as you say. But I think having let it slip, and I honestly believe Rafa will have been into the players after that second half against Brighton, another game where we've sort of switched off. I mean, Southampton, you could argue we did similar in the second half in terms of switched off. Obviously, we still got away with the win in that one. But I think Rafa will be thinking, I'm not going to allow the players to keep making these mistakes. Liverpool, obviously, got some brilliant players, and they're going to cause us a lot of problems. But you know the way we're going to play. We're going to sort of play with the back five, two home midfielders, and we're basically going to be there to try and disrupt them. And then it's going to be a case of a counter-attacking game. Liverpool got great defence, got a lot of pace in there, but at the same time, they're not invincible. They've struggled in games at times, and they've had issues where they've got away with stuff. Depending who partners Van Dijk, I mean, whether it's Lovren or Matip, they're both liabilities. There's opportunities there to get at either of them, and there's a hell of a lot of pressure on Liverpool. Like, this is the biggest game of their season, the biggest game of a lot of those players' lives, so there's going to be a hell of a lot of pressure on them, and they know what's at stake if they don't pull it off, and that's going to play into it at some point. They're going to get nervous at one point, especially the longer the game goes on and we can keep it tight. That's going to get to them, and I can see the mistakes starting to come into their game as they try and push and panic. So it's going to be difficult, but the game plan will be there from Rafa to sort of get a positive result out of it.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's back to basics, isn't it? And it's back to, you know, we need a bit of luck, like we got against Man City. We need to play at the best of our ability, and we've got to hope. Ben, you mentioned the word pressure there. We've got to hope that let's like we did against Man City, even though we were 2-0 down after however many minutes, 1 minute. Yeah, that was it. 1-0 down after 1 minute. You know, when we got the equaliser on 58, we were in that game on 58 minutes. We're in the game on an hour, and I think that's probably going to be the same this time. Let's try and stay in the game as long as we can, and then have a bit of a go the last 10, 15, 20 minutes. There aren't really any players from the bench who can influence too much, and we saw that on Saturday. That was an issue.
The forgotten man scored against Liverpool before. Big Hoss off the bench.
And I suppose that, I mean, we're nearly finished this podcast. We've got a chat coming up with Lizzie Doyle of the Anfield Wrap, which I've pre-recorded. You know, lads, opening up, team selection, is it the same? Is it John Joe again against his old club? Does Big Mo come in? Does Key come back in? I mean, selection issues, anyone want to take them on?
I think we'll definitely see Key in instead of Shelvey. Shelvey's a bit too much of a luxury player. And I said on the show we recorded, the first lesson it was, I said Shelvey did not take his chance in the game against Brighton in a perfect game, so I'll be gobsmacked to see him in. I think Key will be put in there because he's just full of beans, full of gas, but he has the ability to use the ball, which we're going to need time after time after time. Whenever we get it, and we're only going to get one chance to make a key pass. Yeah, there it is. So we need someone that's got that ability, which I don't think Diarmé has, as much as I love him. Hayden has to start centre midfield because... Well, Alex doesn't agree, I don't think, but for me, he does. He will, yeah. Other than that, the team kind of picks itself, doesn't it? I wouldn't be shocked to see Mankiw in rather than Yedlin. Rafa seems to have found that as his go-to at the minute. I wouldn't be shocked to see Dummett at left wing-back instead of Richie and have Richie in a more attacking position, which is out of nowhere. But because they're going to be attacking so much against us, I feel like we could have more use for a proper defender in at left back.
We're going to be playing two left backs. Paul Dummett and Matt Ritchie will both be left back in this game. Mankiw seems to have had favour recently, but because of Liverpool's pace, I wouldn't be surprised to see Yedlin come back in, just because that's all we've got. We're going to be so deep, but Yedlin's the only chance of recovery if they get him behind him, because he's fast. If Mo Diarmé is even close to fit, I think he'd start ahead of Key. I think he's just going to want all the workmen in there, because the only way we get anything out of this game is if we can manage to keep them out for the first 30, 40 minutes. As Ben said, frustrate them as long as possible. If they score an early goal in the first 10 minutes, we're fucked. We're going to get absolutely battered.
I think I would bring Yedlin in, because you're right, his recovery speed against Liverpool last year was crucial, I think, on three occasions in the home game. But also, if we are going to be as defensive as we are, we probably need Yedlin's pace on, like, as an out ball. I would play Mo Diarmé. I just would get him into Wijnaldum. We know he's a coward. You know, he can go win all the titles he wants, wherever he wants in the world. We know the truth about Gini Wijnaldum. Very talented footballer. Well, he might. Benson, has he won out? I don't know. But we know the truth. We know what he did when he was here, and I want to see Mo Diarmé get stuck in. I'd probably play Diarmé and Key, but like you say, Hayden will probably get the nod. It could be like Isaac Hayden's. It could be all three of those players last game with St James's. And, you know, Hayden has been fantastic since he come into the side in January. And, you know, against Southampton last home game, him and Key played really well in the main. So, yeah, big one for me, lads. Ben, I know you want to say something. Big one for me is Muto. I'd like to see Muto given a chance in the Christian Atsu role. You know, if we're going to see Perez, which hopefully we'll have to see Perez, they'll definitely risk him. You know, let's give Muto a shot. I think pace, you know, you're talking about Lovren, you're talking about Matip. Yeah, Van Dijk has got all the pace in the world. He has nowhere near the pace of an Almiron, but unfortunately we're not going to get to see that duel. I'd like to see our fast players in this one and really stretch Liverpool on the rare occasion that we do manage to counter-attack or get the ball forwards quickly.
Yeah, it's just to reiterate, passing the battle would have failed. Drop that, I think. Yeah, just to reiterate, I mean, it's obviously going to be dictated on the fitness of the players. So you said Lascelles and Perez are training, but obviously how they're feeling at the weekend will be key. I mean, if, for example, Perez wasn't playing, you would think it would be Muto would come in and play that role rather than Richie. I sort of understand where you're coming from. You'd not you were getting some disgusting looks off the other two, but I can see where your sort of thought process was there. But I agree. I think Richie's industry and the playing that left wing back this season's been invaluable, and I can't see Rafa sacrificing that to have him wasting his energy run chasing lost causes up front. So I think he'll definitely be playing left wing back. I think, yeah, it's a good shout with the Muto one, because I think Atsu, again, I was really disappointed with his performance against Brighton, because that was a real opportunity for him to come in and play the Almiron role, and he's got a lot of pace, but it's just that final end product, which is nothing new. He still just makes bad decisions at the wrong times. He never really gives us any attacking sort of a threat. And I mean, it was a ball from Paul Dummett that was sort of the one bit of quality in that game for us. So I hope he doesn't stick with him. I hope he does. He'd bring Muto in. And if we get Muto, Rondon and Perez is the front three, then I think we can create problems and get our sort of opportunities when they arrive. So I think I agree in terms of the midfield. I think it'll be Diarmé and Hayden. He's going to go for the power, and he's going to want to shield that back three as much as he can. And I can't see him bringing a Shelvey or, I mean, Key maybe come on as the game goes on when we start to potentially get more opportunities for getting on the ball. But I can only see really Shelvey, for example, coming in the game if we're getting battered and it's a case of, right, we've got to try and take the game to them. But I don't really see that happening, to be honest. So, yeah.
Right, I will call it there. Going to leave you now with my chat with Lizzie Doyle of the Anfield Wrap from the Liverpool perspective. First of all, last of all, lads, get some quick predictions from you. Mickey, do you want to start us off?
1-0 tune.
Very optimistic. What a start.
I think we'll get beat 3-0.
0-0.
Ben, you've just been talking about all the chances we're going to create and how we're going to be a threat on the break and all that. I'll go for a hugely encouraging 1-1 draw, which obviously totally messes up Liverpool, and will be a lovely end potentially to Rafa's time at the club. Hope I'm wrong. Hope they get it sorted out. Either way, we'll be back to talk about it Sunday morning on the next free podcast. Do give us a try on Patreon. Loads of extra podcasts each week, like the lads kept referencing the first listen. Most of you probably don't know what that is. That's a podcast we'll put out immediately after the final whistle. Literally about 10-15 minutes after full time, so get involved, and if not, we'll be talking to you on the free pod out next Sunday. How are the lads? So Lizzie Doyle joins me now from the Anfield Wrap to give us the Liverpool perspective towards this massive game of football this weekend. Lizzie, thanks for coming on the show. We're dead grateful. First of all, this is quite the week, isn't it, for Liverpool Football Club?
It's been quite the week for the past year, I'd say, the past season. It really is quite the week. We're running out of time now to potentially wrap up this league, and two games left, and both games are really difficult ones. You know, loads of people will be saying Liverpool are the favourites, and understandably so, but we're also a little bit edgy about the idea of Newcastle away on a Saturday night. City don't play till Monday. I think that's a good thing. I think we, when Liverpool play beforehand, we get our 3 points, hopefully, and then we put the pressure back on and we say, go on now, it's your turn. And they've got to play quite an informed Leicester who've just battered Arsenal. So it's a huge week. My nerves are gone. I'm trying to tell myself that I'm accepting second, just like the damage limitation, but it's really, really difficult when there's still 180 minutes of football left to play for both of us.
Definitely. And obviously, in between this game, you've got, you know, the Champions League semi-final, which, again, is huge games of football. What, you know, obviously, we're chatting before this game tomorrow night against Barcelona. Is there the Liverpool fans? I know you can't speak for the whole fan base, so I'll ask you. Do you have is there a preference on the game? Are you thinking, well, you know, let's just get through the Champions League semi-final because the weekend's bigger, or does it not really work like that? You have to appreciate that me and the people listening have no context for Champions League semi-finals, these kind of fixtures.
Do you know what, it's mad. Usually I think Liverpool have had to prioritise because we haven't had the squad, we haven't had the players, but we've got so far now in both competitions that we just can't give up on any of them, and now is not the time to rest. We've literally got 4 games left with a potential 5th at the end of glory, you know, on the 2nd of June. That's all we've got left for the rest of the season. You can't be resting players at this stage. This is what you're in it for me, as a football fan, and to be honest, as the players as well. Those players should be thinking, you know, we are very realistically going to win one of the 2 trophies that we're left in, and I really do think that. I do think it might be more the Champions League, but, you know, if City drop points, and who knows what could happen in the league. It literally is not over till the final whistle in the league for me. Because literally anything can happen, and as much as I think it's unlikely, you just don't know. So I don't feel like I'm prioritising it, and I don't feel like a lot of fans are, but what I will say is in the best way possible, because we're so desperate to win this league. The Champions League plays a little bit of I don't want to say background, I'm not trying to come across cocky, but because we've been so focused and so nervous about winning this league, the Champions League's just been sort of plugging away in the background, and then all of a sudden we get, you know, we struggle through the group stages, we get Bayern Munich in the last 16, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, all right, okay, we're playing Bayern Munich, and then we go away to the Allianz Arena and we beat them 3-1 on their own ground, and then you get to the quarters and we're playing Porto, who we played last year and we battered last year, and we thought it won't be a repeat of that, because you don't, no mug just gets to the quarterfinals, and then we battered Porto, and then before we know it, it feels like it's completely passed us by. Before we know it, we're facing a semi-final against one of the best teams in Europe, against the best player in the world. And I just think it's really exciting at the minute to be a Liverpool fan.
Oh, definitely. And I suppose my next question will be, and it's a hard one, how have Liverpool got to this stage in such a short space of time? If you look at last season, I mean, you know, last season, Champions League final again, but finishing 25 points behind Man City, that's a huge, huge gap to make up in such a short space of time on Man City. What do you think the main difference has been from Liverpool, say, this season compared to the previous two under the manager?
So, last season, I think the biggest asset to Liverpool has been Virgil van Dijk. And I think if Virgil van Dijk hadn't come in when he did in January last season, we probably wouldn't have got to the Champions League final. But what Klopp has done is he's shored up the squad a bit more. You know, he's given us depth. And I think the introduction of Alisson, I think we've been lacking a world-class keeper since Pepe Reina. And I think you look at the top 6 sides and all of them have good keepers, but we didn't. So Alisson's come in and really shores up our defence along with Van Dijk. Our full-backs have improved. And then, like I say, we've added depth to other areas in the pitch. You know, we lost our save Chamberlain through injury, but we brought in Fabinho when we got Naby Keita. And we also got Shaqiri, who people might forget about, but he's made an impact on our season. And I think the front three are just, the more football that they play, the more ruthless and the better that they get. So what I think is he's brought in the right amount of players, but not just about how many he's brought in the right types of players. And I think the fact that we've had quite a lot of football at quite a high level, I think is only doing good things for this side. And I don't know about yourself. I mean, this might come across terrible. Like, I want to win every competition possible. I want to win the League Cup. I want to win the FA Cup. I want to win the League, and I want to win the Champions League, just like every football fan. But in January, when we went out in the FA Cup, I don't want to call it a blessing, because we could literally finish the season with no trophies yet again. But to me, it felt like we couldn't fight off more than we could chew, if that makes sense. So yeah. City is such a big squad, so many players, so many numbers, that they can literally compete in all four competitions, whereas I don't think Liverpool could, but we're competing in the most elite two. So yeah, I think that, like I say, the introduction of a couple of players, but keeping the squad together, I think, is a big achievement in itself.
Excellent answer, and like you say, I mean, we'd love to be able to compete in more than one competition in the Premier League, but it doesn't happen for whatever reason. And yeah, that FA Cup exit, you know, I think the media made a big deal of it at the time, losing to Wolves like you did, but you've just gone. I mean, was that probably the last defeat, I think, in any competition?
Yeah, it was ages ago.
moving on to the game this weekend, obviously you'd have to be very confident. I mean, the form of both Liverpool and Manchester City is, quite frankly, you know, like something from a different domestic league. You almost haven't seen this in the Premier League before. I mean, ever since we beat Man City, they've won every single Premier League game, and it feels like a lifetime ago to me. Since we did that, you know, do you think Liverpool fans are looking at this game thinking Newcastle's a tough one because of what we did to Man City, or is the confidence so high that you almost expect to win every game?
It's quite a tough one, I think, because I found that a lot of Liverpool fans looked at Southampton away in the same way as they're looking at Newcastle, and these sides are a little bit unpredictable on home ground, and you're looking at the time of the game as well. So it was a Friday night at Southampton, they were dead up for it, and for them it was actually a bit of a relegation battle. Where does yourselves are safe now? So but we know Rafa Benitez, as much as we love him and as much as he loves us, we know he loves to win a football game, and he's very professional, and he'll do what he can do to win a football game. And I think I am worried about every game, and what I keep saying, as mad as this may seem to yourselves or to other people, is for me it's not necessarily the opposition I'm worried about. So I treat Chelsea at home the same way that I treat Newcastle away. It's more about the points on the board rather than who we're playing. I'm more worried about dropping the points rather than who it's against, if that makes any sense at all. Yeah. I know that we're better, but like I say, anything can literally happen, and this is not an easy game. It's a game where we should be better, where we should win, but you know, Newcastle have got an upset in them, you really do. And the only thing at the minute I'd say that is sort of making me feel a little bit more confident than before is the idea that your front three look a little bit discombobulated in this game. So I mean, I don't know, it looks like Perez might potentially be out. Is that confirmed?
No, he's hopefully playing. But Almiron's definitely out. Yeah, and that's a huge blow. Yeah, huge blow.
They've been on form. Perez is really on form. But I think against our back four, it might just become a little bit too much of a challenge for them. So I do expect to see points, but I do not expect it to be an easy game at all.
Nice one. Lizzie, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and best luck for the rest of the season.
And you.